What if you could build a battery that doesn't rely on lithium, is safer, and works better in the cold? And what if that technology was already being mass-produced and installed in electric cars today? That's not a future projection. It's happening right now. And for Western companies, it represents one of the biggest competitive shifts in the energy transition this decade. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm your host, Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in battery technology. First, the commercial reality of sodium-ion batteries is here, led by Chinese giants, and posing a direct challenge to the lithium-ion ecosystem. Second, we're seeing an unprecedented flood of capital, billions of dollars, into massive battery storage projects to stabilize grids and power the AI boom. And finally, we'll look at the manufacturing wars and the growing pains of deployment, from intellectual property battles to community backlash.
It's a critical moment. The technology is scaling faster than many expected, and the strategic implications for U.S. and European firms are immediate.
Let's start with this new battery chemistry, Troy. We hear about lithium ion all the time, but now sodium ion is making major headlines. What exactly is happening with CATL's Nextra battery?
CATL, the world's largest battery manufacturer, has begun mass production of its Nextra sodium-ion battery. The key metric here is an energy density of 175 watt-hours per kilogram. For a sodium-ion cell, that's a breakthrough.
Put that number in context for us. How does 175 compare to the batteries in a typical EV today?
It's now surpassing some of the more common lithium iron phosphate, or LFP, cells. It means we're seeing the first EVs with these batteries, like the Changan Nevo A06, achieving a range of over 400 kilometers. This isn't a lab prototype. It's a commercial product hitting the roads.
And why does this matter globally right now? Is it just about a cheaper alternative?
It's about cost, safety, and geopolitics. Sodium is abundant and cheap, unlike lithium and cobalt, which are geographically concentrated and have volatile prices. Nextra cells also have superior low-temperature performance and meet China's latest stringent safety standards. CATL has already secured a 60-gigawatt supply contract for energy storage systems, and BYD is right behind them, building a 30-gigawatt pilot production line.
So what's the direct impact for U.S. and European manufacturers, especially in the automotive and energy sectors?
This is a significant competitive threat. Chinese firms have taken the lead in commercializing a next-generation lower-cost battery chemistry. This could erode the margins and market share of Western manufacturers who are still heavily invested in lithium-ion supply chains. European automakers, for instance, focused on affordable EVs, now face new Chinese models with a built-in cost advantage.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be thinking about?
They need to understand this new product category. Sourcing sodium-ion batteries or the EVs that use them could open up new lower-cost market segments. But they must also manage client expectations. The energy density is still lower than high-end nickel-based lithium cells, so it's not a fit for every application. The market timing is now. These products are available.
So what's the actionable insight for an executive listening today?
Western executives should immediately task their strategy teams to evaluate sodium-ion technology for their product roadmaps, especially for stationary storage and entry-level EVs. They need to assess their supply chain's vulnerability to this disruption and start exploring partnerships or R&D to develop their own capabilities, or risk being completely dependent on Chinese suppliers for this critical technology.
Okay, a huge shift in battery chemistry. At the same time, we're seeing a mind-boggling amount of money pouring into deploying current-generation batteries. You flagged a project in California that just secured nearly $5 billion?
That's right. IPX Power finalized a $4.95 billion financing deal for its Darden project in Fresno County. It's one of the largest single solar plus storage financings in U.S. history. The project combines 1.15 gigawatts of solar with a massive 4.6 gigawatt-hour battery system.
And it's not just in California. We're seeing this everywhere.
Precisely. In Texas, Spearman Energy just secured $450 million for its 300-megawatt, 600-megawatt-hour Red Egret project. In New Mexico, D.E. Shaw and Tierra Adentro Growth Capital have broken ground on two projects totaling 270 megawatts of solar and 180 megawatts of storage. This trend is global, In Australia, the German utility RWE just got full approval for its Lemondale BESS, which uses 144 Tesla megapacks and can discharge for over 8 hours, a new record for the country.
What's driving this gold rush? Is it purely market demand, or is something else at play?
It's a confluence of factors: renewable energy mandates, the falling cost of batteries, and critical government incentives. The financing for the IPX and Spearmint projects in the U.S. explicitly leverages the investment tax credits from the Inflation Reduction Act. This de-risks the projects and signals massive investor confidence.
So for a U.S. or European manufacturer of, say, power electronics or grid hardware, what does this mean?
This is a tremendous opportunity. These multi-billion dollar projects create a massive bankable demand for inverters, transformers, battery management systems, and the batteries themselves. A company like SunGrow USA is supplying its PowerTitan platform for the Texas project. This is the time for Western manufacturers to scale production and lock in long-term supply agreements with these developers.
What about trading companies and distributors in this space?
They need to be embedded in this ecosystem. The key is to get ahead of the procurement cycles. By tracking announcements from developers like Spearmint, IPX, and Greenergy, they can anticipate demand for specific components and position themselves as critical links in the supply chain for these huge, complex projects.
The actionable takeaway?
If you manufacture any component for utility-scale energy projects, your sales team should be entirely focused on the developers and EPCs building out this pipeline. For executives, it's time to approve capital expenditures to expand capacity. The demand signal has never been clearer.
Troy, there's a fascinating new driver for this battery demand you mentioned, the artificial intelligence boom. How are AI and batteries connected?
The connection is power. AI data centers are incredibly energy intensive. Training and running large models creates an electricity demand that is growing so fast, the existing grid infrastructure cannot keep up. Utilities are quoting multi-year delays, often over 5 years, for the necessary grid upgrades.
So data centers can't get enough power, and that's slowing down the deployment of AI?
Exactly. It's becoming a primary bottleneck, and this is where batteries come in as a solution. A Seattle-based company, Electric Era, has launched a platform called CoPower. It's a battery system designed specifically for data centers that can be installed in just 12 to 18 months, completely bypassing those grid upgrade delays.
So they're essentially creating a private, localized power reserve for the data center.
Correct. And it's happening at utility scale, too. The Canadian energy firm Enbridge is developing a 365-megawatt solar project paired with 1.6 gigawatt hours of battery storage in Wyoming, specifically to power Meta's data center operations there. By the end of 2024, the U.S. already had 26 gigawatts of operational battery storage, and this new AI-driven demand is accelerating that growth even further.
How should U.S. and European manufacturers view this?
This is an entirely new, high-margin, and rapidly growing market segment. Data centers require extremely high reliability and power quality. Manufacturers that can design and deliver robust, modular battery systems, like Electric Era's 2.5 megawatt building blocks that scale to over 100 megawatts, will have a strong competitive advantage.
And for distributors?
A new and very motivated customer has just appeared. They need to develop technical expertise in the power requirements of AI infrastructure and build relationships not just with the data center operators like Meta, but also the energy companies like Enbridge that are developing these bespoke power solutions for them.
What's the immediate action item?
Executives at battery and power electronics firms should form dedicated teams to target the AI data center market. The need is urgent, the customers are well capitalized, and the problem, a lack of power, is acute. This is a chance to get in on the ground floor of the infrastructure build-out for the entire AI revolution.
Troy, as all this capital flows in, the competition over the underlying technology itself must be getting fierce. You have an update on Tesla's manufacturing process.
Yes, and it highlights that the battery battle is increasingly about manufacturing innovation, not just chemistry. Tesla is investing $250 million to expand its dry electrode manufacturing process for the 4680 cells at its Berlin Gigafactory.
Dry electrode, what does that mean in simple terms?
Traditional battery manufacturing uses a wet slurry with toxic solvents that have to be evaporated in massive energy-intensive ovens. The dry process eliminates the solvent and the ovens. Research suggests it can cut energy use, emissions, and manufacturing costs by up to 40%. It's a process-level breakthrough.
A 40% cost reduction is huge, but it sounds like there's a conflict brewing over this technology.
A major one.
Tesla is suing a former supplier, Matthews International, for $1 billion, alleging theft of trade secrets related to this exact dry electrode process. It shows just how valuable and contentious this manufacturing IP has become.
So what's the warning here for U.S. and European manufacturers?
The warning is twofold. First, if you aren't investing in advanced manufacturing processes like dry electrode, you risk being rendered uncompetitive on cost, even if your cell chemistry is good. Second, you must be hyper-vigilant about protecting your intellectual property. The stakes are now in the billions of dollars.
How should trading companies view this development?
They need to understand that the manufacturing process behind a battery will increasingly affect its price and availability. A supplier who masters dry electrode could fundamentally disrupt market pricing. Tracking who has this capability is now a crucial piece of market intelligence.
And the actionable insight?
Conduct an immediate review of your intellectual property protection strategies. For manufacturers, initiate a strategic audit of your production technology. Are you falling behind on process innovation? You need a plan to either develop, acquire, or partner to gain access to next-generation manufacturing techniques, because your competitors certainly are.
Finally, Troy, let's talk about the bookends of the battery lifecycle, where the materials come from and where the facilities are built. We're seeing movement in recycling, but also some pushback on the ground.
That's right. The circular economy for batteries is becoming a serious business. A new market report from IndexBox projects global production of black mass, the powder from shredded batteries, will surge from 150,000 tons in 2025 to over 800,000 tons by 2035.
And companies are raising significant capital to process this material?
Yes. Redwood Materials just secured another $350 million to accelerate its EV battery recycling operations. Their facility in Nevada can already process 100,000 tons of material annually. This is about creating a domestic, circular supply chain for critical minerals like lithium, cobalt, and nickel.
But as we plan to build more of these recycling plants and giant battery storage sites, not everyone is welcoming them with open arms.
No, and this is becoming a major hurdle. Across the U.S., from Hutchinson City to New York's Adirondack Park, communities are raising concerns about fire risk and environmental impact. We're seeing local governments pass temporary bans on new facilities and judges halting construction on permitted projects due to resident opposition.
So the industry is facing a social license problem. How does this affect manufacturers in the U.S. and Europe?
For manufacturers, this is a dual-edged sword. On one hand, securing offtake from recyclers like Redwood is a massive opportunity to de-risk their raw material supply from geopolitical volatility. On the other hand, when they plan a new factory or their customers plan a new storage project, they must now anticipate and manage potential community opposition, which can cause costly delays.
What should distributors know?
They should be aware that project timelines are no longer just subject to supply chain or financing delays. They are also subject to zoning battles and community referendums. This adds a new layer of risk. On the upside, trading in certified, high-quality, recycled battery materials will become a major new business line.
So, what's the actionable advice for executives facing this complex landscape?
First, for supply chain leaders, start formal discussions with major recyclers now to secure future capacity of recovered critical minerals. Don't wait. Second, for project developers, integrate deep, transparent community engagement into your project plans from day one. Treating it as an afterthought is a recipe for failure.
All right, Troy, a lot to digest this week. Can you boil it down to your top three strategic takeaways for our listeners?
Certainly. First, sodium ion is a commercial reality and is coming from China. It represents an immediate competitive threat and supply chain shift. Western firms must have a strategy to address it now, whether through R&D, partnership, or sourcing. Ignoring it is no longer an option. Second, the capital markets have spoken. The demand for grid-scale battery storage, now supercharged by the AI industry's power needs, is the single largest growth driver for energy hardware in the West. Billions are being deployed, and the opportunity for suppliers of every component in that value chain is immense and immediate. And third, the battery industry is maturing. This means the frontiers of competition are moving beyond just cell chemistry. They are now in advanced manufacturing processes like dry electrode, in building a resilient circular supply chain through recycling, and critically, in earning the social license to build and operate these facilities in our communities. Success now requires excellence across all three of these domains.
Troy,
Thank you for the sharp analysis. The speed of this transition is remarkable, and the business implications are clearly enormous.
A pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence. Our mission is to provide the clarity and foresight you need to navigate the intersection of technology and industry. If you found this briefing valuable, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Join us again next week for your strategic edge.